Hi, and welcome to this week's Expert HR podcast with me, Ellie Gelder. Football fever is soon going to be descending upon us as the 2016 UEFA Football European Championships, or more commonly known as Euro 2016, kick off on the 10th of June and run until the 10th of July. With Euro 2016 taking place in Paris, some of the unmissable games are likely to be broadcast during standard working hours. There may also be increased employee interest in the championships, as this is going to be Northern Ireland's first major football tournament since 1986 and Wales's first since 1958. While this all provides a brilliant opportunity to engage with your staff on a key sporting event, it may also present you with various tricky workplace issues. With me to run through these issues is employment law editor Sarah Anderson. But first, let's take a look at the positive side of sporting events in the context of work. It's not all unauthorised absences and poor timekeeping, is it, Sarah?
No, absolutely not, Ellie. In fact, sporting events like Euro 2016 can offer employers a brilliant opportunity to build employee engagement.
In what way?
Well, many employees place a lot of importance on being able to follow major sporting events, so enabling them to do this can be a really effective way of increasing employee morale.
And how might employers allow employees to follow the popular matches?
If some of the unmissable matches are being broadcast during normal working hours, as is the case with Euro 2016, employers could screen them at work. But don't forget to let employees know what is expected of them during the screening. For example, no drinking is allowed and they must make the time up.
Absolutely. And is there anything else that employers can do to major on the employee engagement aspect of Euro 2016?
Well, another option is for employers to introduce a temporary flexible working arrangement during the sporting event. For example, employers could allow employees to leave work early, start work late, or extend their lunch break to watch the key games, provided, of course, the employees get approval from their manager and make up the time.
And also, whether or not that's going to be possible is going to depend on the nature of the workplace and the employer's staffing needs, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Operational requirements must take precedence.
Okay, so say we're an employer, we've made plans to take advantage of the employee engagement opportunities that Euro 2016 offers. What next?
It's a really good idea for employers to consider in advance what issues might arise during a sporting event and how they will deal with them. Now, there are various issues that crop up. I'm going to take our subscribers through four of the key ones, which are competing requests for time off, unauthorized absences, internet use, and alcohol consumption.
Okay, so there's obviously quite a lot to consider then, but before we get into those, what's a good starting point for our employer?
Well, it's a good idea for employers to have a policy on major sporting events and, of course, to remind employees about it during the build-up to the event. The policy can help employers to avoid disruption by ensuring employees know what is expected of them.
And what sort of things should a policy on major sporting events cover?
Well, we have a great template policy on major sporting events on Expert HR, but in brief, it could cover things like time off work, temporary flexible working arrangements, unauthorized absence, internet use, and alcohol consumption.
Brilliant. So our hypothetical employer has now prepared its policy, it's communicated it to its employees. What next?
Well, employers may find themselves having to deal with an increase in holiday requests from employees during this time who want to watch matches, and these requests may compete with other holiday requests. Employers need to ensure that they deal with competing requests fairly and consistently, and that they don't favour a particular group.
So that might sound obvious to a lot of people, but that's really important, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And the reason for this is that if employees feel that they have been treated unfairly, they may decide to pursue a grievance against the employer. They may also claim that they have been subjected to unlawful discrimination where the employer does not grant a request for time off.
So just to bring that to life then, can you give us an example of when an employee might claim discrimination in this context?
Sure. If an employer were to prioritise requests for watching a Euro 2016 match over normal holiday requests, this may raise the risk of discrimination on grounds of age and sex if most requests for time off to watch the match are made by young male employees.
So what steps should our employer be taking to avoid these kinds of discrimination claims?
Well, firstly, employers shouldn't assume that female employees will be less interested in watching matches than male employees, and they should make sure that they are not prioritising requests for time off from male employees. And secondly, they should try to ensure that employees who aren't interested in Euro 2016 aren't disadvantaged overall.
So how might employers avoid that?
Employers could allow these employees some flexibility over working hours at a different time if they have allowed this for the purposes of the sporting event, but they should make it clear that the arrangement is temporary.
And presumably, if an employer allows employees to leave early to watch an England or a Wales or a Northern Ireland match, the employer should apply the same policy to those employees who support different countries.
Yes, absolutely. If an employer decides it's going to grant time off to watch key England, Wales or Northern Ireland matches, it should also grant time off to watch key matches involving other nations so that employees of different nationalities can follow their team.
So another issue you touched on earlier is the risk of increased unauthorised absence. What can our employer do to combat that?
Employers should take steps in advance to avoid this, for example, by making employees aware that absences will be closely monitored and that unauthorised absence or sickness absence that the employer suspects isn't genuine will lead to a disciplinary investigation.
So another hypothetical situation then, how should an employer deal with an employee who it knows is a football fanatic who then is off ill during Euro 2016?
Okay, well, although it might be hard not to do this, the employer shouldn't assume that sickness absence around popular sporting events is not genuine. Instead, if it thinks that an employee has pulled a sickie, it should investigate the circumstances before deciding whether or not to instigate the disciplinary process.
Okay, and then the last issue, which in this age of technology becomes more important, many employees are going to be using the internet to watch sport on their computers or mobile devices. How should our employer deal with that issue?
In the run-up to sporting events, employers should consider reminding employees of their rules in relation to internet use and that those rules apply to the following of the sporting event.
And what other steps can our employer take?
Well, where this is feasible, employers that normally ban all personal internet use at work could relax this during a sporting event. They could allow employees to follow events online at their desks, either on the condition that it's not excessive or unreasonable, or during their breaks. And this may also reduce the potential for unauthorized absence.
But obviously, if productivity is being affected or network problems are being caused, this might mean that such computer use needs to be restricted. So what other issues might crop up during sporting events such as Euro 2016?
Well, Ellie, employers may find themselves having to deal with employees coming to work under the influence of alcohol after watching a particularly exciting match or who are unfit to work because they're hungover. Now, if this happens, the employer should deal with the matter in line with its policy on alcohol use and its disciplinary procedure. But to prevent these things happening in the first place, employers would be wise to remind their employees of their relevant policies and the consequences of breaching them.
Okay, so that covers off the issues you mentioned earlier. So Sarah, can you just provide our subscribers with a quick recap of the main points they should be taking away from this podcast in the run-up to Euro 2016?
Absolutely, Ellie. My top three tips for our subscribers are, firstly, to have a policy on major sporting events that they communicate to their employees in advance to make sure that their employees understand what is expected of them and to help avoid the various issues we've spoken about. And secondly, to deal with the competing requests that they might receive for time off during the event in a fair, consistent and non-discriminatory manner. And finally, to remember that Euro 2016 is actually a great opportunity to increase employee engagement, so don't be frightened of it.
I'm glad we finished on a positive note there. Thanks very much, Sarah. That's a really helpful rundown of some of the key things employers need to bear in mind as the countdown to Euro 2016 begins. You can access a range of content on how to manage issues arising from major sporting events by going to our hot topic on Euro 2016, which you'll see on the right-hand side of the Expert HR homepage. That brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Ellie Gelder. We'll be back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.